welcome to Dr. Three, a Hearthstone podcast dedicated to giving you explosive growth and climbing the standard rank ladder. I'm your host, Katrina, and along with me are my fellow hosts, the card game queen and master tour caster, Dragon Rider. And of course, you know her, you love her, it's Smarms. How are we all doing tonight, ladies?
Really good. Excited to be back here doing this.
Yes. Yeah. It was a very up and down last couple of weeks, I'll say. Yeah, I don't even think the last time we recorded that, like, yeah, it hadn't even been announced that I was casting the Master's Tour. I think we, like, mentioned that it was happening, mm-hmm. but it hadn't been announced, so, like, I couldn't say anything on the show yet. So, yeah, that was that was a whole thing that, like, happened already in his past, but... Yeah, so.
Yeah, and you did a phenomenal job, dear. It was,
you
killed it, like, literally. Very much, no matter who they put you with casting-wise, you did a really good job. So, it's very, very pleasurable to watch you cast, and, like, you definitely are very knowledgeable, and you do a very good job of conveying the information to the viewer. So, like, I think you did just, like, a top-tier job. You 100% deserve to be there, and you fit in with every single one of those casters.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Yeah, I am...
Dragon Rider crushing everything.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? I will say, it still blows my mind when people say things like this, because I'm pretty sure we've talked about it on the show probably multiple times. Mm-hmm. I have gotten much better, but I am still, like, very, very hard on myself. So, of course, the whole time I'm like, I suck at this game. I need to get better. I don't know what I'm talking about. I probably messed that up. Oh, my gosh. I don't even know what I'm talking about. I shouldn't say these things. These other casters are probably just, like, agreeing with me, you know, to, like, not call me out on broadcast or something. And, like, you know, and then I literally was sitting here thinking, I'm like, people are just telling me that I did a good job because they're trying to be nice. And then flashback to my therapist going, you literally have worked yourself in a circle where you are so bad that people are taking time out of their own day and the own things they have going on to message you to make you feel better. I'm like, yeah, that probably doesn't make sense, does it? Oh, okay.
Like, no, it doesn't.
Yeah, no. Like, I just have it all worked up in my brain, like, oh no, I'm like, oh, I didn't get like 50 messages on the first day, I must suck. And I'm like, oh my god, brain, can we not do this?
Yeah, no, I believe me as someone like different. I have imposter syndrome too. Like, I 100% do. I think a lot of trans people do, like myself. So, like, on another note, I know exactly where you're coming from, and it's just like, no, you're just saying that. Like, you don't really mean that. You're just being nice right now. So, like, okay, whatever. Like, you don't really mean that. You're just like, you're just saying nice things because you think it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So anybody who did watch the Masters Tour, if you did enjoy it, if you did think that I did a wonderful job, I do appreciate it. I really, really do. And just know that if you ever feel like that, even people who don't act like they feel like that absolutely do 100%. Like, I might not act like I am nervous or think that I suck when I'm on the stream, mm-hmm. but I can assure you that I very much do. So
it is astonishing, because, like, I'm glad to hear that, because I don't know about this, sounds so silly, I still get kind of stressed before I join any podcast, even the ones that I'm on every mm-hmm. week. Like, I'm like, all right, take a deep breath. Like, this is going to be fine. Or I stream 5 days a week. Do you know who still gets stressed out before this? Like, and here's the thing. Your thing's a big deal. So that makes sense to kind of get, like, a little bit nervous. Do you know who needs to not be nervous? Me, who's just shouting into the void for kicks and giggles.
So here is my theory why this still happens. This, I'm going to say, like, modern day, I don't, that sounds like weird, but I think things like these podcasts and streaming and like the casting, this is the modern day version of public speaking. And people still get flustered and well worked up about public speaking.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it is a thing that happens, even though we're still sitting in our house by ourselves, not actually facing in front of people. It still can feel like that because people are still hearing us and exactly. can respond to what we're saying. So, like, it still very much feels like public speaking.
Yeah, because we've released this to the public. Yeah, right. it doesn't, yeah. it's not, like, yeah. we aren't, this isn't. Although this does feel like us just having a chat, like just be among three friends, because that's basically what this podcast is anyways. But like people can listen to it. People can go download it, and people have complimented us on our podcast. So like, which is bizarre to me.
Y'all talking about this made me realize, because like I actually love public speaking because I'm one of those like psycho mm-hmm. people. Do you know what was drilled into me in my DC job is don't leave an evidence of, like, you know, various things. And so it's like, oh, because this is being recorded, this is suddenly like this could be played as evidence in some sort of trial or whatever. And I'm like, okay, maybe that's something that I need to examine on, like, why am I so worried that I'm gonna get in trouble over this?
Yeah, you might. No,
yeah, I'm just like,
yeah, if anyone deserves to, it is kind of me. But
well, it's like so. that post that Blizzlet made the other day, where it's like listed podcasts and like what they're known for, and then like Monster Fuckers is Blizzlet, and I was like, okay, that's fair. They're like Doctor Three, good standard content, and I'm like. Okay, thank you. I appreciate that, but like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Are you telling me I need to bring the monster fucking over here too?
I mean, you're already going to have someone who's already going to be enthusiastic about talking about it. I don't know about Dragon Rider, but like,
yeah,
we talk about monster fucking on this podcast. Like, I'm all for it. Yeah. So
we're gonna have to put the explicit. All right. episode already like 5 minutes in, be like, oh, by the way,
yeah, there were some F bombs dropped.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not sure that the F bombs are quite as much the issue as talking like
the yes, topic itself.
That
yeah.
thing that we
yeah.
To be fair, emo sire Denathius would bang 10 out of 10 like every day of the week. That's like the sexiest art in the game, okay. in my opinion.
So I don't know if you guys watch a lot of TikToks, but there was like this like hear me out trend, and then it's like you show like what you think an attractive character is that like not everybody else would find attractive. And because me being who I am, all of like the side of the TikToks I got were stitches of those people being like hear me out, and then it's like it's a standard attractive person with horns. I'm sorry. That's not hear me out. Do you want to know what my hear me out is? It's this non-sentient blob, or like this sentient blob, or the Eye of Sauron, or for me personally, topical, those Fallout suits. I don't like the person in them. I like this suit.
Oh, the power armor? Yeah, so, the T-60? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Did you guys watch the show?
I finished it yesterday.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, my husband and I have seen two episodes so far. Like, we're going through it a little bit slower, but have very much enjoyed it so far.
Good on you for having that self-control, because I started it one night and then I finished it the next morning.
It is not self-control. It is.
I started on Thursday because I had less to do and I was taking off Friday for my surgery. So I made it through 6 episodes on Thursday. And then I watched the last 2 yesterday because it was just like, I was like, okay, I need to recover. And I was just kind of like in and out of sleep while I was in bed. So I couldn't really like, it wasn't really like being able to focus on it. So I finally put the effort in. I finished watching it yesterday and I was like, yeah, it's good. It's very good. So.
Yeah. But those suits, very hot. 10 out of 10.
All right.
And that character, my least favorite character.
Oh, Maximus.
So like, yeah.
Yeah, fair.
Anyway, we can talk about more Hearthstone, guys. How about that?
What's Hearthstone?
Yeah.
I know.
Let's do it. All right. Well, let's talk about the poll question that we did have a couple of weeks ago. Yes, I did include a little PSA at the beginning of last episode. Like, yeah, that was kind of an episode that covered a 2-week span. So thank you to everyone for just bearing with us and being patient through that. Yes, our poll question.
Real quick, too. So that people know, last week, Smarms was going to, she went to Texas to see the eclipse, the dojo.
Right, that was my, in case of, like, a visual goof, which is a thing I'm apparently bringing over here, which is not a good segment for an audio format. Let me be so clear on that. I held up my shirt, which is, I went to Bandera, Texas, which is the cowboy capital of the world, is what they call it. It's where the cattle drives used to start. But there was this pizza place that I went to 5 times when I was there for only going to like the eclipse. So again, a few days on either side of that. But the pizza place was called the Dojo, and it's dough spelled like pizza dough. And then
J-O-E.
And this town was actually super cute and way better than you would ever expect a middle of nowhere Texas town to be. So I was just very excited to show off my shirt because, honestly, the Dojo, kind of a funny name for a pizza place. Like, that's so good. I was very proud of it. And they made a cute little clip shirt that was, like, sold out. And so it's like you have to imagine that this shirt was, like, bought by everybody in town because how do you sell out of a shirt in a town of, like, you know, 4,000 people, if that?
Yeah.
But yeah, so
Smarms was coming back last week from that. I got to see it, like, I literally just walked across the street and had a perfect view of my, like, the full thing. It was, yeah, so I was lucky in that regard. And
there was me who was totally clueless, and I had no idea, like, when during the day it was even happening. So I literally was running some errands and then came home and then went, oh yeah, when is that happening? And I was like, looked it up and went, oh, 2 hours ago. Cool. Oops.
It would have only been it would have only been partial for you, but like,
I was in the
path of like the full totality. Yes, I was like in the smack dab in the middle of the totality of the eclipse, so I got to see it. Very cool. But also, so like I said, I had surgery last week. And I had a 2-week period where I had to be off my hormones. And I didn't record last week because I was a complete fucking wreck because I was off my hormones for 2 weeks. And like the week before, I was able to push through. I would not have been able to push through last week. So like, that's why I wasn't there. And then Dawn had something else going on too. I don't exactly remember what you had going on.
Yeah, there. I guess we'll say, okay, so today that we're recording is Tuesday the 16th. Mm-hmm. So this past weekend was the Masters Tour, but the first Friday of April, right? So like we recorded Wednesday the 3rd, mm-hmm. which was the day later than we normally do.
Yeah.
And then I started feeling really sick the next day. I was going to be editing. And so like I had all the stuff and I was like, okay, I was like, I think I can just make it till tomorrow. Well, turns out tomorrow, which was Friday, I was really, really sick. Like, I was so sick that I was throwing up so badly and consistently. Like, it's weird because, like, I say badly, but literally I threw up really badly once. And then the rest of them were like, it was just stomach bile that I was throwing up because I had nothing.
Oh, yeah.
But I was doing that every little while, and it got so bad that I was literally like losing consciousness from how often I was throwing. Yeah, it was so bad. Like, mm-hmm. I have chunks of time from Friday and Saturday that I don't even remember at all. Like, I remember that I had tried to get up and I was gonna let the dogs out, and I was like, go to the bathroom and then try to make it out of the bedroom and then have to go right back. try to make it out, go back. And then I ended up, I was like, oh my gosh. And I texted my mom. I was like, I need some help. Can you come over and like help me and help take care of the dogs? So she came over, and then it was getting really bad. And then she called my husband, and he took a break from work to come home. And I remember I had been like, I kind of folded myself over some clothes on a dresser. And then the next thing I remember, I was like kind of leaning over the bed, and my husband was putting shorts on me. And then the next thing I remember, I was leaning on the toilet, and my mom was like calling my name. And then the next thing I remember, there were paramedics there. And they literally had to call me an ambulance and take me to the hospital. Because, and then I remember like the whole ambulance ride, like I'd be, you know, just like chilling, laying there. And then all of a sudden the paramedic was like, Don, we need you to stay awake. Huh? Oh, yeah. Okay. And the next, you know, need you to stay awake. Yeah. Okay. Like, you know, I'm just sitting there thinking like, I am awake. What are you talking about? And I'm like, ooh, that's, that's probably not good. Yeah. So, and then Saturday, I played 2 Hearthstone matches. Can't tell you who I played against. Can't tell you what classes I played or what decks I played. I remember that they happened, and that is it. And, yeah, that was a super weird feeling. And apparently, I had a stomach bug. That was it. Like, they did blood tests, they did urine tests, and I was like, everything looked good. Even my electrolytes, even after like throwing up and all, like my electrolytes were good, but they gave me like fluids, and then they gave me some stuff to just like slow down my digestive system and stop it, stop like the spasms and cramping in my stomach that was causing me to throw up. Mm-hmm. And they gave me nausea stuff, but yeah, it was like, that was absolutely wild.
I'm assuming they took your blood after you got to the hospital, and since you were taken by paramedics, I'm assuming you would have gotten IV bags
in
the ambulance ride. So like, that sounds, because man, the dehydration from like repeated puking is no joke.
That sounds terrible.
So that happened, and then finally I was like, oh yeah, I need to talking is hard. I need to edit our episode.
You need to episode. And then,
I need to episode. And then, so then I did that. And then it was like, everything else that was going on with like the eclipse. And then, Kat prepping for surgery and me prepping for the master's tour. And then it was like, let's just, you know, our episode essentially came out almost a week late anyways. Like, this is just, this is what we're doing now. So,
We feel like I want to just talk about it briefly just because we are very consistent. We like almost always put it out an episode generally the same day, if not a day later. Like most weeks we record on Tuesday, like that week we were talking about. So not last week, but the week before, we recorded on Wednesday because Smarms needed some time on Tuesday. So we were like, yeah, we'll record on Wednesday. And then, like, so we just wanted to let you know that, like, for those listening, that, like, this is why we were not there last week, just so you have an idea. Like,
but honestly, good on us for all having disasters at the same time. So, like, we didn't have to, like, this isn't affecting Dr. Three for 4 weeks, which it definitely, like, you know, between all of the stuff, we all did this together. This is a synchronized,
synchronized disasters.
It was synchronized. Well, it seems like Smarms had a good time, but like the rest of us,
that's true. And I'm sorry about the rest of y'all, because that sucks. My dogs got a lot of burrs in their fur. Damn, that was, no, I'm just kidding.
I'm glad.
It was astonishing, though. I got back, like,
I was going to say, ahead. I'm glad you didn't have anything bad going on. Like, it's not like I'm like, damn it, Smarms, why didn't you have something shitty happen to you?
Oh my gosh. It was just one of those like really interesting times. And then of course, here I am like, great, let me just be sick like right before this master's tour casting. So then of course that made it difficult to like prep like I wanted to. And then, you know, then the panic set in, right? Like, oh my gosh, now I've been sick. I've been so out of it. I haven't been able to like play or watch streams or like study stuff that I wanted to study or like take my notes or anything. So, you know, then it was just like panic, like, I'm not ready for this. And yeah, then it was. So it's been a weird like last 2 weeks. And when we recorded last as well, that was also when like we recorded the day that they put out that little like teaser about Battlegrounds Duos.
Yep.
And so we recorded and we were like, maybe Battlegrounds Duos soon. And like, we're about to talk about it with all the notes and stuff, but literally like it got announced, everything got revealed, and it launched like before we even recording again. So that happened too.
Oh yeah.
It's been a lot.
Honestly, as a person who like talks about Hearthstone quite a bit, as we all do, you know, on one hand, it's nice to have like endless content. On the other hand, it's like, this is so fast. This is so much information coming. Like,
yes,
there's, but I don't know. I was honestly excited and loved it. I'm sure we'll, you know, we'll talk about duos later, but.
Yes.
Gonna be a good time.
All right. Okay. Now we can talk about the poll. Yes. Sorry.
Yes. Okay. Poll take two. Here we go. All right. So yes, this was a couple weeks ago. We put out this poll question. There wasn't necessarily a ton going on for Standard, but we asked if you would try Battlegrounds Duos when it came out. So we had 49 votes. Thank you to everyone who voted. That's awesome. And this was kind of split a little evenly here. We did give two different options for the yes, but so we said yes, and you usually play Battlegrounds. Yes, but you don't usually play Battlegrounds. And no, that you weren't really interested in Battlegrounds Duos. So the, I guess, for a single answer, the highest answer was no, not really interested at 49%, but it was 51%. For the other two combined. So 30.6% said that yes, they would try it and they do usually play Battlegrounds, and 20.4% said yes, but don't usually play Battlegrounds. So pretty split, 51 to 49 of like, yes, they would play it or not really interested, which that seems cool. I say like,
yeah,
if you're going to have a split audience, I think pretty close to even is probably ideally what you want. You don't want it like, you know, 80% being like, nope, that looks terrible, not gonna do it, you know, and then 20% being like, yay, please. Which I think we've seen in other modes and it's unfortunate.
I was kind of surprised by that, and it makes me like, just from like a purely like data wanting to know more information, not that I need this information, but like wishing that we'd ask like, okay, for, you know, ask the no in the same way, because that was, I guess, higher than I was expecting. So it was, you know, the breakdown on like, okay, if you do typically play BGs, like maybe you don't necessarily have friends doing that, so you don't want to then, and so like looking at the where the no's were coming from.
Yeah,
but that's pretty interesting.
That's actually a really good point. Maybe something that we can look at for like the future if we have similar poll options. And that actually does bring up, we had a couple people leave a comment, a reply to this poll question as well. And shout out Wash in the Wind said, where's the option for yes, but only if I'm in a voice call with my partner? So I think that kind of speaks to that. Like, yeah, like they're, you know, if you don't have friends or someone that you like specifically want to play with, maybe you're not going to play duos. You would just do regular Battlegrounds or you do like Standard or something. So very much that could contribute as well. It's like there will be people that maybe play it, but maybe they only play it, you know, a little bit, like with someone very specific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, so. I think it's going to be very interesting to see. So.
Yeah. But yeah, thank you again to everyone that voted, and to Wash in the Wind and Alucard for leaving the comments. And we'll have another poll question at the end of this episode.
Huzzah! Okay. All right. Smarms, you want to start us down the news path?
I will.
I will. But first, we're going to talk about the huzzah, which is, I think, something that we need to incorporate more into this episode and more into life in general. That's such a, like, a fun way to say, like, instead of saying, like, fuck yeah, huzzah, so much more panache and, like, you know, sparkle around it. So I love it.
It's always when I say huzzah, I always think of the Futurama episode where it's Zoidberg's anniversary, and it's the one where Fry has like $3 billion in the bank, and it's like, today marks Zoidberg's, you know, blah 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 anniversary. Huzzahs are in order, and everyone's just like, huzzah, huzzah.
I was gonna say it reminds me of the Renaissance Fair.
If you're looking for this specific episode I'm talking about, it's called A Fish Full of Dollars. Because nice. It's the one where Fry buys the can of anchovies for like $100 million.
Oh my, okay, yes, I know exactly what episode you're talking about. I love Futurama.
Yes. So
here's the thing. I don't remember Futurama. This might be TMI and, you know, not really fit the content. I found Futurama at a time where I was first experimenting with recreational legal marijuana. Okay. So, like, I feel like, just, like, I don't remember a lot about it. I remember I was having fun, though, and snacking a lot.
That's
so
fair.
You know, good times.
Good for you.
Hearthstone news. So the Masters Tour happened. Mm-hmm. We're going to go into that more later. There was a huge patch. It was patch 29.2. And in this, Battlegrounds Duos was released.
Yay!
As well as a new season of BGs. This is season 7. We also had an update on the Demon Hunter weapon, Umpire's Grasp. An increase from 3 mana to 4 mana. A new arena season began. In-game event Double Trouble. It will have a special split track event. Choose one of the two tracks. One track focuses on traditional Hearthstone, getting you 4 Whizbangs packs, 2 standard packs, and a Urel the Knight Paladin skin. The other track focuses on BG's duos, granting 1 Whizbang catch-up pack, 1 standard pack, and Golem Curator Battleground skins. And if they don't let me do both, and of course they won't. Don't. I'm going to be hard. I know.
I just...
But, like, I guess this isn't typical for somebody to be as much into both Standard and BGs as I am, but it's always sad when it's like, you can do this one or this one, and it's like, these are my 2 things that I do. I don't play any other games. These are my games. I have 2 of them.
Yep.
That's fair. Yeah, especially if you're not playing any other video games, which I am. So, like...
No. And that's always, like, the surprising thing is, like... It's like, oh, what other games do you do? Nothing. This is Hearthstone. This is my game. This is the one game I have. I will occasionally go kill things in either Fortnite or Helldivers, but that is infrequent. And if it would be a statistical anomaly if you were running, like, data analysis across, like, the time.
It's like, do you play any other games? Well, my last name is Gainsborough, so you make that call.
So this event runs from April 23rd to May 7th. There's a heroic tavern brawl that runs from May 1st to May 8th. The mini set usually comes after the following week, so maybe we'll get a mini set Tuesday, May 14th. That could be kind of exciting. And new types of hero skins, these are diamond skins. And so having, like, looked at the animation for it, they're very crispy in a good way, not in a bad way.
Like pristine.
Yeah, there we go. Yes. That's...
Crispy being HD, not crispy being like mummified corpse, you know, that version of crispy.
But I like mummified corpse. So,
oh my gosh.
I know, but not everybody agrees with us, Kat.
I mean, everyone doesn't have to be right all the time. Yes, I know.
I know. We sit here and Dragon Rider is just like face-palming, horrified by what we talk about. This isn't even the first time in this episode where she's been horrified about what Kat and I are going on about. This is Kat and I's special talent, horrifying dragon rider.
I like spooky stuff, and there's nothing you can do about that. I'm sorry.
We also got some bug fixes. In general, they've updated the minimum specifications to run Hearthstone on iOS and Android, requiring 3 gigabytes of RAM and no longer supporting iPhone 6S, iPhone 7, or iPhone 8 base models. Rules update, cards that force spells to be cast, like duplication or recasting, now check for target legality, meaning, for example, you can no longer use cards like Conductivity to Altered Chord, an elusive minion, or...
Oh, okay. Oh, that makes sense.
Or Promotion, a minion that isn't a Silverhand recruit. If the would-be target is not a legal target, that part of the spell won't have any effect.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
They also fixed a bug where Splendiferous Whizbang only used the basic hero skins.
Yay!
Now we'll use updated hero skins. And I know this is an issue that is near and dear to Dragon Rider's heart.
Yes. Yes. I did play a few games of the Splendiferous Whizbang during the Theorycraft and was like, oh, these are all just like the base hero skins. And I was so sad because I literally spent the first like 30 minutes of my Theorycraft stream going through all of the like hero portraits and cosmetics, and specifically just making sure I favorited all of the new portraits. And then I was like, okay, cool. Now we're going to do a couple games of Whizbang. And then it was like, oh, these are just basic hero skins. And then other people were even like, yeah, that's kind of sucky that they would do that. So glad to know that it was a bug and that it has now been fixed. So
yeah,
if you want to play Whizbang, you will now see your favorited skins or whatever it is for that class, and it will not just be the base hero.
So good news for you, Smarms, because I think you're the only ones who will still play Whizbang.
All right, I like the chaos.
I'm not judging. There's zero judgment here.
There's some judgment there. But my thought was because of, like, obviously... Whizbang is more chaos inducing, and I know Dragon Rider wanted it to choose specific hero skins. I think it should choose any hero skin that has ever existed in Hearthstone for that class, just because, like, I think it should just run random, and that's like the whole thing of Whizbang, and I think that that would be kind of fun and an incentive for other people to continue to play Whizbang.
I would be more fine with that than just having it default to base hero skins only, because that just felt sad and lackluster. And it was like, well, you have all these cosmetics and then you're just giving me like the base hero skin. Like, I just created this account. Like, no, give me my skins.
Fair.
That is very fair. Then there was also a bug fix of where Khadgar's Wisdom Ball could target friendly targets if all enemy targets were untargetable. So that seems like a good fix to have. And then some daily and weekly quests have been adjusted to be harder to complete, but will grant more XP.
Yeah.
In addition...
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. I was going to say, this is one that I think we should talk about for just a minute here. So if people haven't seen... It does specify some daily and weekly quests have been adjusted. I haven't really seen anybody talking about dailies. It's mostly kind of an issue that people are having with the weekly quests, because the adjustments that they made, they did increase the amount of XP that you get, but they also made them harder to complete, which you would think, okay, cool, they made it a little harder. But the examples I'm seeing are, like, they made it much harder. Like, instead of for the weekly quest, you know, let's say, like, winning 5 battlegrounds, or playing, like, 5 battlegrounds, it's now, like, win 15 battlegrounds. And yes, that is a weekly, but also, even for, like, casual players, which I think make up the majority of Hearthstone, and really, like, casual players make up the majority of every game. Let's be real. That is a huge increase to what you're asking, especially when you change something from play the games to win the games.
Yeah.
Because you're also then, I mean, we've talked about this before, right? Even, let's just take standard. Even like pro players, if they have 60 to like 75%, which like sometimes, you know, you'll see them post something like that. That is a very, very high win rate. So if you're looking at 75%, that still means what? That you have to play 20 games to win 15. So, you know, for like casual players, like that's a lot. And if people are just popping in like during their lunch break at work or something like that, and you're asking them now to win that many games, especially Battlegrounds that go much longer, I would say, than like the typical standard game.
Yeah.
That's very significant. And I think for the amount of increased play versus the amount of increased XP, it doesn't seem like you're it seems like you're asking like a lot more to play than the XP that it would be worth, I would say.
Yeah, it's like the reward magnitude went up one, but the like difficulty magnitude went up like two or three, and so it does seem kind of interesting. I did notice, like, and here's the thing. I hardly ever look at, like, what my quests are, because playing the way that I do and how much I play, I typically just passively get them.
Yeah.
So I don't have to, like, necessarily look at them. But these don't seem like things that are passively doable at all. And I do kind of wonder on, like, this seems like they were getting input from highly, you know, people who were... You know, we all play more seriously about the game, but like, if you only get input from people like us who, you know, spend a lot of their extra free time only doing Hearthstone, then you're not getting a balanced. But
yeah,
you know, who knows? I'm sure they can adjust these things. The only other, unless anybody has anything else on that,
like
I was gonna say,
like usually, like the they win five games. It was usually win five games of standard Hearthstone, and it was worth 3,000 XP with the 20%. So if you don't have the pass, you know, take the 20% away from it. But now it's win 15 games of Hearthstone, and then it's 3,600 as opposed to 3,000. So the reward has been, or the requirement has been tripled, with the reward being less than 30% upped. You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't quite understand, like, what the difference, like, where they got those numbers from. Like, obviously for us, it's probably not going to matter as much, like you said, Smarms, but, like, for the casual player, like, asking 15 games to be won as opposed to five to get your reward, it's a considerable, like, you're gonna have to play, you know, like 20-25 games, where before you had to play 7 to 10, maybe more, depending on where you are and how well you're doing. But like, you know, say, you know, you win 60%, so you might have to play like 8 or 9 games.
So they did do something very similar to this with the previous in-game event as well. That was to like work towards that, like, I forget what it was called, but basically the like Demon Hunter bobblehead looking hero.
Skin. Oh, Malganis.
I was like, I don't remember. It's a Demon Hunter bobblehead. That's all I know. I don't know. And I did see kind of very similar like criticisms where it was like, okay, wait, why are we all of a sudden, like, why is it so much harder to complete this? I put in a decent amount of playing, might have been a little less than I usually play, but I still took up to like the day before the event finished to actually complete that reward track. And I specifically put in a little bit of extra games to make sure that I was completing that. So I can't imagine how people who just log in, like, you know, once a week or just like every couple days for a little bit, like, they probably didn't finish that reward track. And I understand the logic from the side of we want people to actually like be in the game and play the game more, mm-hmm. And not just like, hey, we have 3 weeks to finish a reward track and you finish it in like 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand that. But at the same time, I think the kind of they've gone the almost the opposite way. I will say in regards to the specific like weekly quests and things we're seeing right now that were just changed, there has already been, this just came out today, but there has already been a ton of chatter about it on different like social medias. Community manager Ridiculous Hat has been very, very active in talking about that. And I just wanted to like mention a couple of like posts that he replied with to people. At one point he said, you know, that the things were changed, said it was briefly communicated in today's patch, but the details have been surprising to a lot of people. We are discussing the requirements as a team. Somebody else says, like, they're asking, they're like, please say this isn't permanent. And Ridiculous Hat said, we are talking about this very actively today. So I think there was also some comments that he put out on Reddit, because he's also very active in the Reddit community there. So it already is something that like the team is already looking at. So I'm sure that we'll probably see some sort of adjustments or at least more communication about that. But I'm not going to jump to like any conclusions about this right now, especially since there are already like actively talking about it, you know, on the Blizzard side. So mm-hmm. we'll see what they do with this and if they kind of tip this back a little bit the other way and try to find like a happy medium, I think, that feels good for them and for players.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's definitely one of those things we'll keep our eyes on and we'll see. So I have faith in them. They generally listen to the community, and I think at the core, they generally try and make the experience better for the community as a whole. So,
yeah, I imagine they'll get it figured out. It's just like a shocking thing. The one last bug thing that I did want to mention, we do not currently, this was not fixed as of recording. It probably will be hopefully fixed by the time that you're hearing this, but there is a issue around a bug freezing with certain weapons, and I haven't experienced it, but I know Kat that you did experience that, and if you wanted to talk
about
that.
It's the weapons discovered from that Death Knight spell that discovers a weapon that it gives it +1/+1. So when you discover it, it just has, all of a sudden, it has a hidden freeze effect. So no matter what the weapon is, it's going to freeze the opponent or whatever you hit. So when you discover a weapon, which is pretty common in like a lot of the Death Knight builds right now, so just as a heads up, if that happens to you, that's what's happening.
Runes of Darkness. One mana, one blood rune. I just looked it up. I could not remember the name. I was like, I'm going to check. So yes, if anybody sees that, but because it's one blood rune, it can be seen quite often in the Rainbow Death Knight that's going around right now.
Exactly. So I would not be too concerned. I assume they'll fix it very quickly. So. And they know about it, so it's not like it's not on their radar. Yes. It's definitely on their radar, so. Oh. Okay. And.
All right.
Keep going. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to move on to, because this is honestly one of the most exciting things for me. I know Dragon Rider, but with the duos coming out. So this is the only thing that I did at BlizzCon. First tried it, and then proceeded to like look around at the other things at BlizzCon, but then mainly just stood in line to continuously play BG's duos. I have loved it. It is obviously a little bit of a different experience playing it afar from where like you don't have your duo partners like screen right there to where you guys can just, you know, it's almost like a two monitor setup. But it has been so much fun. I got to play yesterday on the like little preview event. And playing for 6 hours, like, time just flew by.
Oh my gosh. And by the way, hello, we didn't even mention that. Yeah, Smarms was part of the Battlegrounds Duos, like, preview event. Very That's similar awesome. To the standard version of Theory Crafting. So, yay! I was so happy to see you get to participate in that, Smarms.
I was so excited. Because, like, you know, I talked about earlier in this episode, like, I, you know, while I mainly came into Hearthstone through Standard, I now, when you look at it over time, while I mainly play BGs while I'm streaming, I, like, they're about 50-50 for me in my personal time. So to be able to, like, get to participate in both, even though I'm just, like, a, you know, relatively small creator, all things considered, it's been That's incredible. Awesome. And I could not believe how lucky I got and how much
Congrats.
Fun I had.
Congrats.
But yeah, so Duos was incredibly fun. It was astonishing how good some of those other people were at BGs. Once again, like, you know, I know I'm not nearly as, like, good at Standard as, like, because, like, hitting Legend is, I have to put effort in, and it's not just something that, like, comes easily. But, like, BGs, it's like, okay, sometimes I can actually play this game. And those people were just like, This is a fundamentally different game that we're playing.
Oh, yeah.
Because some of the, you know, these are the people that are around, like, the 14K. And I'm like, and they have, I was like, we had the same amount of mana, right? Like, you didn't have, like, a where you had, like, 55, like, coin, you know, gold at the start of every turn, starting at turn one, right? Because, like, how did you get this? But I do think, like, the fun thing about Duos is it, I like the teamwork aspect. It was fun. I would definitely play with somebody who you think you work well with because, like, during the heat of the moment, you, like, you're trying to get these fast turns. Already kind of being on a similar page with somebody really helps. Mm-hmm. When I was playing at BlizzCon, I played with Gimpy, which is, I think, also who you played a game with, Gimpy, right, Dragon Rider? Or did you not?
I only got to play one Battlegrounds Duos game at BlizzCon, which I played with my husband. I wanted to do more, right. But, like, by the time that we attempted, like, the line was so long after that, so, yeah.
And I was, like, that kid at, like, Disneyland who's obsessed with one ride. It's, like, as soon as I got out, just walk right back around to get in that line. And that line was, like, sometimes you'd just be standing there for an hour. So being able to play a lot of games in quick succession has been amazingly different, but... Dragon Rider, do you think this is the mode that'll finally, like, get you way more into BGs, or?
We'll see. Because, okay, so, like, I do enjoy Battlegrounds, and I guess, like, there's been seasons where I've played much more, seasons where I've played much less, and it's not always necessarily dependent on, like, what's going on in Battlegrounds. It actually usually is more how much I'm enjoying Standard. Mm-hmm. You could tell the seasons that I've played a ton of Battlegrounds, usually I'm not enjoying Standard very much. But usually when I at least put in, like, some kind of games and some effort, I usually end up around, like, 55 to 6K mm-hmm. in Battlegrounds, which is, like, you know, it's definitely nowhere near the top, but it's, like, it's fine. Right. I want to get better at it, but I think for me, Battlegrounds Duos will probably be something that, like, I do for fun, that, like, I do with friends or, like, some of you or, like, AFG people or, you know, just, like, maybe a thing on stream sometimes, like, play with somebody. But it's probably not a mode for me that, like, I'm going to try to push, like, high rank or be, like, super competitive in. I could see myself trying to be more competitive in, like, the regular Battlegrounds, but not Duos. But I think for me, like, the Battlegrounds Duos is going to be, that's going to be, like, the fun mode where I'm like, yeah, like, you know, or, you know, it's a weekend and I'll be like, okay, time for me and my hubby to, like, do some Duos and, like, you know, see how that goes or something. And for me, that'll just be, like, the really fun mode that I will probably play specifically with other people that, like, I know and that I can be in a call with. I don't really expect myself to be, like, just queuing up and, like, pairing with some random person online and playing. It's just not that's not enticing to me, not something that I really want to do. So
yeah,
and you do bring up
go ahead.
No. I was gonna say, you do kind of bring up a good point on the thing that I'm worried about with duos, because obviously we all have friends within the Hearthstone space. We all have actually probably really close friends within the Hearthstone space that met through Hearthstone. And so, like, for people who don't necessarily have that community and they, like, are into Hearthstone individually, you know, it was 8 years before my brother had anybody else who played Hearthstone in his life. You know, he literally had his kids were the first one to get into it before, like, I got into it. So if you don't necessarily have that, like, community around Hearthstone, I do worry that, like, it's not, there's not going to be as many players playing it, which is so sad because it is so fun if you do have that. So I am a bit worried. And sorry, Kat, what were you going to say?
I don't remember now. It's just one of those things. I started listening to what you were saying and I'm like, what?
That is totally fair. I will say, I do not, they did a good job on trying to make like little emotes that happen very fast in the moment. And that, if you are paired with somebody random, but I'm not sure how I feel about those, but this is where I'm almost the opposite of Dragon Rider. I goof around constantly in BGs. That is my fun. That is my goofy time. Mm-hmm. That is where I make bad choices. As soon as you put me on a team with somebody else, this is suddenly the most serious thing that has ever happened. And so, like, for most people, I know it's the opposite. Like, the duos is where they want to goof around and everything. And, like, I actually, like, I will do some goofing around. But if I have a teammate, like, this is, like, suddenly this is a serious thing. We are in this to win and be competitive. And so it's, like, I don't see myself being able to just queue up with something randomly. And one of the things that I will say helped is yesterday, me and my duos partner were on both a Discord call, but also we're streaming our Hearthstone screens to each other. So if you have a multi-monitor setup, like, of course, the Hearthstone team, I think they did a great job. It is very intuitive and easy if you're just on one screen to transfer back and forth and look at things. But as far as, like, being highly competitive with it, I'm not sure that that would work. And, you know, obviously my experience wasn't the typical experience. I was playing against people who, like, had 2 14K players on one team. Yeah. And so trying to play against them, that was, like, that was a fundamentally different and more, like, taxing and exhilarating experience than just playing against other people who are going to be in the same position of, like, you know, if you randomly queue with somebody.
That's fair.
So. No, I think the, like, duos being the more competitive, like, because you have the teammate, you're like, this person's relying on me to know what I'm doing and, like, not just mess around. Like, I can definitely see that. And I think there probably will be people that kind of fit into both sides. Like, duos will just be my, like, for fun, like, you know, pair up with somebody I know mode, or the, like, I will only play duos, like, when I am paired up with somebody and we are going to take it seriously. Like, I definitely think that there will be both sides of that for sure.
Yeah. Well, it's just, like, I was always way more competitive on a team, and to the point where I never realized that I was competitive, because, like, you typically think of, like, I don't know, when you're, like, in high school and you think of competitive and it's, like, those individual athletes that are really into the stuff. And since I never had that, I'm like, I'm not that competitive. And then it's like, no, you're actually insanely competitive. You're just competitive on a team situation. I'm like, oh, you're right. Oh, I get, like, crazy on, like, a teammate based thing. So yeah, that's just,
no, I hear you too. Yeah, I am, like, was not very competitive in, like, high school and stuff, but, like, when it comes to games, yeah, I don't like losing.
Yeah.
So
Whereas, like, it doesn't bother me if I lose on my own. Like, yeah, of course I'll be disappointed or whatever, but, like, if I have lost for a team, I have let the team down. I have failed. This was not how this was supposed to work. This is a monumental, massive moral failing that I have contributed to. And I don't know why I'm like this. I'm sure my therapist would love to know, but, you know, But yeah, so I think duos will be fun. And Don, I do request that we play a game sometime together because I think that'd be fun.
Yes, yes.
I'd love. But like, Kat is obviously gonna play duos, whereas like Dragon Rider, we're gonna make you into this.
Oh yeah, and like, don't get me wrong, like I do want to play it, but again, for me, it'll be like a, you know, I'll set something up with people, and it'll be like, okay, cool, like we scheduled to like, you know, I don't know, Tuesday after the podcast or like whatever, we're gonna queue up a game or two, like, but it's not gonna be something that like I just go into the game at some point and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do some duos right now, just like out of a whim. Like, yeah. Whereas sometimes I do that for like regular Battlegrounds. They'll just be like, I don't feel like playing standard, you know? And I was like, maybe I'll just do a Battlegrounds game. Like I will do that for Battlegrounds, but I don't think I'll do that for duos.
Do a Battlegrounds. So,
yeah. Do a Battlegrounds. I want to do it.
Do a Battlegrounds, which Dragon Rider was right. Takes like 45 minutes. These duo games, because your armor is combined, these take a while.
A while.
Oh my goodness. A while. Great long while. But I also, just on like a quick note before we move on. Oh my gosh, I've talked so much. There are new heroes for duos. One is Cho and Gal, and you both have to pick these. Okay. In order for this to work. And what happens is that whenever you play, your hero power is whenever you play a golden minion, both you and your partner get a triple reward. You will get the triple reward like for whatever tier you're on. So if you have one person leveling and then one person staying down to get triples, that person who is leveling will get the like greater reward. I do think that the one person staying down and then one person power leveling, even not just playing Cho and Gal, is like a really strong thing, because you have something that carries you through the mid game and then some sort of like final end game result. That I feel like is going to be hard to communicate when you're not on a voice call with somebody.
That's fair. Yeah.
Like that. And I don't think that they allow like, you can't type with your partner, and honestly, like, that's a good safety thing if you're not like friends with somebody. The fact that you can't just send random messages is like really good for everybody's well-being. It would make any sort of like higher concept playing like that really almost impossible, but you know. And then there's another hero who is called the Nameless One, and it's passive at the start of the game. Copy your teammate's hero power. That's super good if, like, you know, your teammate has, like, a hero power that you really love, or there's, like, a way for both of you to benefit through having a similar hero power. There's also Flabbitinous Floop, which is a choose a friendly minion, start of combat, transform it into your teammate's highest tier minion. That one's also good for the power. The floop person stays down, and then the other person power levels. That one's great for that. And then there's also Madame Goya, which is a 2 gold pass a non-golden minion. It doesn't have to just be like, you can, instead of buying a minion, and buying a minion typically costs 3, and then passing it typically costs 1. And, you know, there's obviously ways to get around that, but so you're paying 2 gold instead of 4 gold, essentially, with this hero power, and it is pretty good. So that's pretty much it on the duo stuff, and I'm very excited to see how it goes.
So so before we move on real quick, we are rapidly approaching the 1 hour mark here, so I say we just do a kind of a speed round through the last topic we're going to talk about. We kind of got sidetracked.
That's PSA, okay.
Just a PSA reminder, we all have ADHD, so you're lucky you get anything that related to Hearthstone any week, so especially with me and Smart. Me and Smart will go off topic.
Oh my gosh.
With no fucking questions asked.
Yeah, I was going to say, for me, I don't know anything besides Hearthstone, so that's all I can talk about. Yeah, even after casting all day for the Masters Tour, I mean, I wasn't on screen, like, actively casting every single match, but The way that I did some unwinding and cool down after casting was put on Hearthstone streams and opened Hearthstone and played some of my own games. So
hell yeah. Yeah.
Even people were like, well, why are you working after work? And I'm like, well, but I like it.
This is Hearthstone.
I'm a nerd I like cards. So
hell
there
yeah.
It is.
No, I totally get that. Like I had like a stressful weekend and I just was like, I can't do anything. And it's like, oh, you know what I did all weekend? Just Hearthstone. And it's like, so even though I can't do like the other elements when I'm stressed out of Hearthstone, I can just sit there and play it for hours on end. So
yes,
it's still a very fun game.
It is. So,
All right. Well, I guess a little bit of like the Masters Tour decks and kind of what we think we'll see in ladder as an effect of that is kind of our last topic. So I will just kick it off to give like a brief rundown of the Masters Tour. Again, this was a 16 player bracket. So 15 of the 16 players brought Demon Hunter. It was kind of split between like the version that just has, you know, the weapon and the window shoppers and just kind of goes in on that and a lot of like burst damage. And then like half the competitors or so that brought it brought a version that has that but also had the sharpshooters and a little bit more Naga inclusion to kind of get a little bit of extra damage that way rather than damage from like metamorphosis and spells and stuff. So that was very popular. The other couple of decks or archetypes, I guess, that were very popular were Warrior. Very much. So it was, there was kind of multiple versions of Warrior. It was either, there was like one or two, I think two actual like full Highlander lists that were just one copy of everything. Then there were Odin Warriors that were like what we'd seen in the past that were very focused on like the Odin combo, building up armor, trying to swing and hit, you know, the opponent with big damage. And then there was kind of this like what we called hybrid warrior that was kind of a mix that had some duplicates, but then also some singles. And it was kind of like an in between. So those were kind of the things of warrior that we saw. Then there was quite a bit of priest, I would say, the what we are calling Zaremi Priest, which is a pretty aggressive deck. Has a lot of like low cost dragons. It has like the whelp wranglers to generate the little 1/2 taunt dragons and just a lot of small things like that. And then the like thirsty drifters that get discounted based on the one cost cards that you play. And then Zaremi itself, which is the legendary that after you've played five dragons, then once per game, you play that as a battle cry and it gives you that extra turn that you can take. So people would kind of set up big boards, play Zaremi, get to do an extra turn, and then usually try to close out the game after that. So that was there. There was some shaman. It really hasn't changed much from like the past shamans that we've seen more recently on ladder. So I think we've kind of already talked a little bit about like the nature shaman starting to pop up and like Jive Insect. So I'm not going to hit on that too much for our ladder purposes here. The other one that I think is significant to talk about is Warlock. There was one person who brought Sludge Warlock, one person that brought like Wheel Warlock, but most of the players who brought Warlock brought what you might have seen referred to as Painlock or Pain Warlock. And also we decided to go with calling it Custom Warlock because a lot of the pros had called it Custom Warlock, which is when you create a deck in the game, it just makes it custom and then whatever class it is. So, or you might have even seen people say Custom Warlock 2. Like, yeah, that's what this deck is. It looks like a really weird deck that you're like, what is this doing? You're just playing cards that deal a bunch of damage to yourself. And yeah, that's the deck. You play things that deal damage to yourself, and then you hit your opponent with a bunch of stats. So games can end very, very quickly. But because we did have the patch that hit today that did nerf the weapon, that Umpire's Grasp, putting it to 4 mana, so far today, I have noticed there has been a very significant drop in Demon Hunters appearing on ladder. So I would say if we are going to start seeing changes on ladder, I would expect people to start seeing more of that priest, or people even at least trying to play the priest, you know, try to learn that a little bit, because that kind of is more, again, of like an aggressive or board-based type of deck. So it's not like control priest or anything. And potentially that warlock or even variations of that warlock. It's a little bit tricky to play just because you are dealing so much damage to yourself. So it's very easy to get in a spot where you deal a bunch of damage to yourself and then your opponent can just hit you with like a weapon and one minion and then you're dead. And then you're like, oh, well, that sucks.
Yeah.
And then I still would expect Warrior to be popular. I do think that I would say Death Knight has probably been on the rise a little bit, and maybe some Shaman. But Death Knight, I think, would be on the rise because of the popularity of Warrior. So generally, like Death Knights, especially with the plagues and stuff, is going to do a little bit better versus Warriors. So much favorite there.
It's going to say it depends. If it's like a singleton Warrior, then yes, it's going to beat that. Like, no questions asked.
But yeah.
if it's the just the straight up armor gain, like, I think the armor gain, the Odin version, can handle its own. Like, I think it'll do fine.
It can. Yeah, there's some, and this was even we saw in the Masters Tour, like, some of those decks were, like, I think this tournament, like, if you like watching competitive tournaments or you want to, like, learn, go back and watch some of this Masters Tour. I think especially day three, the top eight, was incredible. Like, the variations in the decks and just watching these top players play was so good. Like, it was so good.
And the games Dragon Rider cast are phenomenal, so go watch those. Well,
thanks. Yes, you can hear me pretend to know what I'm talking about. Woo!
She just knows like what this. She's talking about. Don't let her fool you.
Yeah, I was like...
But there are some variants of the Warrior that are running, like, Acolyte of Pain and a lot of draw stuff. So those variants that try to draw through their deck really quickly and still try to play Reno, even though they have a bunch of duplicates, those versions, I would say, still do struggle against plagues as well, just because there is so much draw and stuff. So the Highlander, like the full Highlander list, and the Warrior decks that try to draw a lot do struggle versus plagues and stuff. So there, I think, has been a little bit of rise of Death Knights.
Yeah.
And
it's still good. It's still very good.
And so these, again, are the decks that were played at the Masters Tour and kind of the popularity of that. Now, of course, those are going to be the very, very like high level legend players. So we do sometimes see kind of that trickle down effect of like, oh, okay, these were the things that like were played, and people will sometimes just like copy the decks they saw from the Masters Tour and then and play them on ladder. That works to varying degrees. Sometimes that might work for you. Sometimes that might not at all, because they kind of might have teched their decks a lot for what they were doing for their lineup, and doesn't work the same on ladder. And then, of course, we had that the nerf for Demon Hunter. So that might change things. But if you do start seeing this like priest that they're going wide on board, that definitely gained some popularity, and as well the warlock. So if you start seeing warlock that's like, you know, dealing a bunch of damage to themselves, and then they play like five fives and these giants, that's what it is. So you can kind of look at that and reference. And I would say probably outside of like that very high legend, Hunter might start doing a little bit better. I would say it might be a little bit better positioned into maybe like the nature shamans, maybe the warriors, things like that, because you can build a lot of repetitive boards with the token hunters and stuff. I don't know. I'd have to test and actually play a little bit more of like the priest versus hunter. So I don't feel like I can really speak to how well that would do. And then, I mean, Hunter going wide on board against something like that Warlock that's dealing damage to itself and doesn't have removal. That's going to go very well, I would say, generally for the Hunter, as long as you can just get some things on board and start hitting your opponent in the face and hero powering your Warlock opponent who's already dealing damage to themselves. So I feel like maybe some Hunter might come along again. Not sure how much mage people are going to play or not, but that's kind of what I'm expecting to see after this Masters Tour and nerf, which kind of feel like they all happened at once.
Yeah, they really did. I mean, it hit very, you know, it hit the day, essentially 2 days after the Masters Tour. So, yeah. Okay. All right. So what do we have as a poll question this week?
Yeah. So this week, we want to kind of bring it back a little bit to the expansion and the new stuff as a whole. And we want to know how you've been enjoying the new miniaturize keyword as a whole. So yes, we know like Demon Hunter has been a thing and Window Shopper is there, but like outside of that, or like in general, how have you been enjoying miniaturize? Are you loving it? Are you just kind of like neutral to it or not enjoying miniaturize at all? Those are your options for this week. Let us know and we will talk about the results on next week's show.
Speaking of the show, you can find us on Twitter at Dr3HS. You can email the show at Dr3HS@gmail.com. You can join the Dr3 Discord by following our top pinned tweet. And you can find myself on Twitter at @Alkaline_Cat, K-A-T, and Twitch and Blue Sky are Alkaline Cat, all one word, Dragon Rider.
Hey, you can find me on Twitter, DonnieDK, DawnieDK. You can find me Twitch and YouTube at DragonRiderTCCG. And also, now that everything is over, getting back on track with the other podcast that I do every week, which is the TCCG Roundtable with Ron, Mexico, and Dankestad, where we talk about a whole bunch of different card games.
It is a very good podcast. I would highly recommend. So, yeah, go check it out. And Smarms.
You can find me on both Twitter and Twitch and TikTok at Send Me Your Arms, as well as on YouTube at Send Me Your Arms, probably for the first time this week. I promise it's going to happen, guys. Any day now. You can also find me on Blizzlet.
That's okay. We know. Well, all we have to do is utter sexy monster names into the void and you will appear.
Yeah. Creep out at everybody.
Hey. But I love it, and I love that for you. So that's all that counts.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And as always, you've been listening to Dr. 3.
I have no idea what to do here. I feel like I need to ask a question. Like, okay, Smarms, Window Shopper. Yes? No?
I hardly know her. I'm sorry. That's
perfect. That's amazing.
Window Shopper, great. Which I do feel bad saying that because, like, they did try to make her so sweet as compared to, like, most of her race, class, tribe, vibe. Most of the her species, there we go, Demon. Is like very, very sexy. And so they did make her very sweet. And it's like, but she's still hot. So hell yeah.
There you go. You heard it here. Boom.
Miniaturize boom.